All right, welcome to today's interview here on Brightown.com. Mike Adams joining you from my home studio today because we're talking about gear today, preparedness and survival gear. And my special guest today is Brandon from ShieldArms.com. Now, Shield Arms, I consider them kind of a partner with us because they've provided so much incredible gear to so many people. And they don't compensate me. They don't pay me to do these interviews, but they do provide me gear for evaluation, which I greatly appreciate. And I've had very positive experiences with that gear. So, Brandon, welcome to the show today. Thank you for joining me. I really look forward to what you have to show us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Mike.
It's great to have you here, and I also want to thank you for providing the discount code for our audience. The discount code is Ranger, good for everything at shieldarms.com, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, fantastic. So let's start with what actually got me initially interested in Shield Arms was your folding stocks, your patented folding stock system for AR-15 pistols and rifles. Can you talk a little bit about that and the success you've had with that? And we'll get to mags and things like that later, but start with the folding stocks.
Sure. Yeah. I've got an example here. A lot of folks are sort of familiar with the adapter approach, right? AR-15s do not fold sort of out of the box. And so some companies came along, they made adapters that you would then retrofit your gun in order to allow the buttstock to fold. We came along and said, look, we think there's a better way of doing this. We built the folding mechanism into the lower receiver, and what we've come up with is a sort of more low profile, lighter weight, and more cost-effective approach. And so that was our first sort of commercial success, if you will, was what we call the folding lower receiver, which this button here will allow the buttstock to fold. And you can see that I have the bolt retracted, so that's not going to work.
Yeah.
So right, send the bolt forward, and then, of course, your buttstock can then fold. I don't know how well that's showing up on camera, but...
Yeah, we can see it.
Good. So, yeah, that was our first sort of commercial success, and the product that kind of, I don't know, put us on the map, if you will.
Yeah. Okay, and I the reason I like that is because, you know, it makes it more portable. So, of course, I always encourage our viewers to respect your local laws. Obviously, it's your responsibility to check your laws. But here in Texas, it's very easy to have a folding AR like that in your vehicle where it's legal so that you can, you know, defend yourself against some road rager or something. And it's, you know, it becomes much shorter, obviously, when you fold it than the full-size rifle. So it's just easier to maneuver in the vehicle. It's worth noting, however, that it doesn't, I mean, technically you could fire one round from that position, although I know you don't recommend that. I've done that on camera before.
I saw you do it.
Yeah, I did it just to see if it could be done, but I wasn't putting my face behind that, by the way, just because it's not my first rodeo with firearms, but technically, I mean, you need to fold the stock back into place before you begin to put rounds down range, correct?
Correct. And, you know, there's kind of a misconception with folding guns. I think video games and Hollywood has sort of led people astray. You really don't, whether it's an AK, it doesn't matter what the gun is, you really don't want to be firing guns from the hip in this position. It's not a very accurate, right. You know, you're responsible for every round that comes out of this gun, right? So you need to make sure that what you're aiming at is what you're hitting at, you know? So we tell people, even if the gun didn't require it to be folded, you should be folding the gun out, shouldering the weapon properly, and then making sure that the rounds are going where they're designed to go. So,
yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. Especially, you know, those rounds, I mean, the range of a 5.56 round, it's a lot more than just 300 yards.
Yep.
If you're angling it up, it can travel 800, 900 yards. You don't know where that's going.
Yep.
So, you know, firing from the hip is just a Hollywood trope.
It's silly.
Nobody does that.
No.
Yeah. Nobody who wants to actually hit anything that is. Okay. So you've got that available. Now, I do have to ask you, the ATF was recently smacked down a little bit with its arm brace rule.
Yep.
At least a temporary stay, but it's a nationwide stay issued, I think, by a Texas judge, if I'm not mistaken. How does that affect your ability to retail the AR-15 pistols with arm braces. Do you currently have those available, or you're waiting?
Nope, we do. We were cleared by our attorneys to go ahead and resume selling. So yeah, pistol braces are back on the menu as of today. And from what we understand,
As of today,
wow. Well, it's, a few days ago at the time of recording, okay. But yeah, we do have them available today. Our understanding is, that this is, it's a stay, but it's nationwide, and it sounds like it's not going to be temporary. I guess we'll all have to just wait and see. But it sounds like this one might stick. So again, not a lawyer. Okay. That's what we understand.
Yeah. Again, I urge my viewers, check your local laws.
Yeah.
It's your responsibility to be in compliance. But which arm braces do you use? Are you using SB Tactical arm braces?
SB Tactical. Yep. Those are the best.
Okay. Okay. Great. Great. And can you show us one of the, do you happen to have one?
I don't.
Sitting around there?
No, all of the guns in here are either SBRs or, rifles. So.
Okay. All right.
I don't have any of those.
No worries.
They're available on the website though. And the cool thing about SB Tactical, they really came along and, found a niche, we'll call it, but they weren't designed to be shoulder fired, but if you were to shoulder fire them, they do function much like a stock is. And so that's the thing that the ATF is sort of upset about, even though the SB Tactical didn't, design them to be shoulder fired. It was more of a brace for the arm. You certainly could. And that's sort of the crux of the matter.
Well, and let me chime in, because quite a bit of our audience here watching today are women. And many women, because they typically don't have the same upper body muscle mass as men, I found that a lot of women really need an AR-15 pistol with a brace in order to really effectively use that in self-defense, whereas a full-length 16-inch rifle with a stock is just too much for a lot of women, especially as they age. Are you hearing that kind of feedback as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think they originally designed that product for folks who had injuries. I don't know that they necessarily had women in mind, but I can understand where you're coming from on that. What I will say is that the AR-15 is a wonderful platform, and you can pretty much dress it up or down to do just about anything you need it to do. So whether that's long range shooting or that's a small compact little 9mm gun that fits in a bag. The AR-15 platform is very versatile, and it can be, you can outfit your weapon system to suit your need, which is another reason why the folks on the left want to get rid of those, because they are very effective.
Yeah, good point. Now you mentioned 9mm there, so you also have 9mm carbines, and I assume you have them in pistol format with arm braces as well now?
Correct. Yep.
All right. What's the model number on that?
SA9.
SA9.
Yep.
Can you show us that?
I can in SBR format. So we've got, here's one that's painted a little nicely, but yeah. So this is 9mm. Obviously, when this thing folds down, it gets pretty small, and this will fit. You can have this thing in just about any of your backpacks. I know, of course, right. Obey your local laws, make sure that you guys are legal. But here in Montana, there's nothing wrong with having this in pistol format in your backpack. In Texas, it would be the same. So, that's the beauty
the
of
magazines.
The folding. Yeah, this is a Glock.
So it takes Glock mags?
This is a Glock-compatible system. That's the beauty of these little 9mm guns. This is an 8-inch barrel. You'd never know as small as it is, but... Yeah, they just take standard Glock mags.
Okay. So a question I have for you then is, in terms of, let's say, the Glock 43X mags here,
which
you also have your mags, do those work in your SA9s?
Coming soon. We'll have an SA9. Yeah. Coming soon, we're going to have an SA9 that's compatible with our S15 magazines.
Okay.
And then there's longer versions of the S15 coming. So if you're a fan of the stick mag... Stay tuned.
Okay. All right. Very cool. With that, actually, let's talk about magazines, because what else your company is really famous for? And this, by the way, you got me back into Glocks. It was Shield Arms that converted me back to Glocks, because let me back up. I'd carried a Glock 19 for many, many years, and sometimes a Glock 17 around the ranch. But the polymer mags became a problem because I carried every day, and I encourage everybody to carry every day, that one time when I had to use my firearm against a snake, a rattlesnake, which requires some pistol skills, by the way, to hit a snake. I fired one round and the magazine dropped out.
Oh.
And it was a factory Glock mag. And what had happened is that the retention indent on the polymer mag had worn out over time as it was rattling around on my hip as I carried it for X number of years. And that made me realize, oh my gosh, this could have been a disaster if I had needed it in self-defense. I would have had one round and that's it. So to me, that was a real failure of the polymer mags. So I went to SIG at that time, and I carried SIGs for a number of years, like the P320. And then I got a little bit freaked out by the fact that the P320 doesn't have a trigger safety, and it was having unintended discharges, even among cops who were just holstering it and then walking, and then the gun would go off and shoot them, you know, in the leg or the foot or the butt. That didn't sound good. So when you came along and recommended the Glock 43X with your steel mags, I switched over to that, and now I love it, and that's what I carry every day. So that's my story. Tell us about your steel mags.
Yeah, well, that's great to hear. Thank you for that. So Glock came out with the 43X and the 48 pistols. Those guns ship with a 10-round magazine, which isn't great for the form factor. It's certainly not bad, but it's not as many rounds as we thought those guns should hold. And so we developed a 15-round magazine that fits in the same footprint. It doesn't extend out past the end of the gun. And so it's still the same concealed carry package you would get. You just get 50% more ammo. And yeah, it's a steel magazine. And then that does require what we recommend is a steel mag catch. But that's the only modification to the gun. You swap out your mag catch, which is about a 2-minute job, and then you can run steel mags.
So question, why wouldn't Glock have a 15-round mag? If, I mean, you've been able to figure it out, how come they didn't do it?
Well, we used to tell people it's because we're just that smart, but people kind of figured out we're not. So that joke kind of played itself out. But the honest answer is Glock could, if they wanted to. The problem is that they've invested heavily. This is a guess. I don't obviously know anybody at Glock, but they've invested heavily in the way that they make magazines, which is a steel core with polymer overmolded. And they have spent the last 30, 40 years telling people that this is the best way of making a magazine. If they were to then switch for just one of their guns, you know, that probably wouldn't be the best messaging from a product standpoint. That's all a guess. I don't know Gaston. I don't know anybody there. So I don't know why they don't, but that's my guess.
But so there's something about the way they make mags that prohibits 15 rounds. It's just the geometry they have.
Well, it is for the form factor. So not the geometry of the magazine itself, but if you're trying to fit it in this mag well, there isn't enough room to have a steel magazine, put polymer over it, all the way around and have it still hold 15 rounds. That's why their magazine is a single stack magazine where the rounds in the magazine are essentially stacked in a column, a single column. This is a double stack magazine where the rounds are staggered, which allows it to, of course, fit more. So when we stripped off the polymer, we had more room in the magwell. Spreading the magazine out this way helps you because you can fit more rounds in there. Spreading the magazine out this way actually hurts you. And so we've done some things with our patented design that allows the magazine to still function and to hold the same position in the magwell without it moving around and still hold 15 rounds.
Now, I call that magazine, which I have here, I call this, I mean, this is just my nomenclature. I call it a 1.5 stack mag.
Technically, yes.
Because it's staggered, right?
Yeah.
And it's very thin. And the thing I like about this Glock 43X, and this also applies to our women viewers here today, is that the Glock 43X is much easier to grip if you have smaller hands than big manly hands. Even I even prefer it now over the Glock 19 because it's thinner and it prints less, the Glock 43X, it's easier to conceal. And with your mags, Brandon, from Shield Arms, now it has the capacity that I'm used to. Now, you know, SIG, of course, use your the same geometry that you're talking about with their magazines on their P365
right.
to give it, I think, 10 plus 1,
right.
which is quite remarkable for how small that firearm is. And I'm a fan of that gun, except, again, I don't know when it's going to go off, you know. But back to Glock, it seems like in this competitive marketplace, I can't imagine how Glock could say 10 rounds is enough in this form factor when there are SIGs and there's M&P and there are other products out there that can hold 15, like what you're doing with your magazines. It seems like pretty big oversight on Glock's part.
Yeah, I can't comment on that. We agree with you, of course, because we made the magazine. But what I can tell you is that prior to our magazine coming out, that gun was pretty much dead on arrival. Nobody was excited about it. Nobody was gearing up for it. Today, with our magazine on the market, that gun is the number one selling pistol in America. So you do
really?
The math. Yeah. So
no kidding.
We wow. try not to take all the credit because it is a good gun, but we do feel like we had something to do with that.
Well, that's really interesting. So do you publicly talk about how many of these magazines you've sold?
We try not to, no.
Okay.
A lot. We've sold a bunch. Yeah.
All right. We'll leave it at a bunch. I wasn't too happy, of course, with the stock Glock trigger. Mm. And so far, I've just replaced the trigger bar with the Ghost, you know, the Ghost bar. Mm-hmm. And that improved it a little bit. It's still not where I want it. So I may have to do something a little more dramatic. What do you recommend? I mean, the stock trigger, even the way you sell it stock, you know, mm-hmm. is too harsh for my taste. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Without getting into the geometries and the mechanical engineering side of things, there is some variance in Glock pistols. You will pick up 4 or 5 and you'll have a different trigger pull between those different guns. Some of my favorite drop-in triggers are made by Agency Arms, agencyarms.com. You can get a trigger from them that has the same sort of OEM safety performance, but you get a much cleaner break with, you know, way less of that grittiness that you can sometimes feel with a Glock trigger.
Yeah.
My business partner, Seth, would tell you, look, if your Glock trigger isn't where you want it, go out and shoot 10,000 more rounds and it'll smooth right out.
Right.
I know that's a little bit expensive, but.
Yeah, that's the thing these days. You know, ammo isn't what it used to be. I mean, I used to go out and I would go through 500 rounds of 9mm in one training session. And these days, can't really justify that.
No, it's hard for anyone. We buy ammo by the pallet here for our testing purposes. And it's just, even at that bulk pricing, it's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So and it's important for our viewers to know then that magazines are not interchangeable between the Glock 43X and Glock 19s or 17s or
correct.
Other fatter, wider Glock models.
Correct. If you buy one of our S15 magazines, these are compatible with the Glock 43X and the Glock 48. There is also a Glock 43, which is a skinnier platform. It's a true single stack, skinnier gun. We do make a magazine for that gun as well, but that one only holds 9 rounds because the magwell is thinner.
I see. Okay. Now, in addition to your steel magazines, which again, I'm a convert now, that this is what I carry. And I have full faith in your mags and in the Glock 43X. I'm liking it a lot.
Thank you.
In addition to that and the folding stock ARs, you also provide quite a bit of other gear. You've got a fanny pack, can I call it that? That's
go
designed
for of course you can.
Concealed carry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you show us that?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So fanny pack carry can be a little bit controversial. I happen to be a fan, especially in the winter months, though, when you're depending on how you're dressed. The problem with your traditional fanny pack carry is that it's slow. You know, you put your gun inside of a bag and you have to run a zipper and get a hold of the gun in order to get it out. I'm not the fastest guy in the world to begin with, so I don't need any sort of things slowing me down, right? And so what we did was we came up with what we call our junk sack. It's our take on a fanny pack that is geared for concealed carry. What we've done is replace your traditional zippered pouch with a set of rare earth magnets in the top and then hook and loop closure on the sides, so that when the gun is in here, it's not coming open when you don't want it to. You can go and do burpees. You can go do a CrossFit workout. This thing's not going to come open on you. But then when you want it to come open, it's got this big pull tab here, and it's you got this top enclosure that's very easy to catch with your hand, and it's on your body at this point, and it's sort of a grip it and rip it standpoint where it will open up and expose this hook and loop enclosure in here where your firearm would go. Of course, use a proper holster, but your firearm would be sitting in here and give you the same presentation that you would have if it was an inside the waistband or appendix style carry. So we've got videos of our guys running these, and they can go as fast or even faster than clearing your cover garment, getting your gun out. This is actually faster because you're just grabbing this thing in the front and pulling down and then getting your gun out.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. So do people typically open it? If they're a right-handed shooter, they open it with their left hand and then they grab the pistol with the right hand. Okay.
Yeah. The translation works pretty well for training, right? Because if you've been trained, Mike, you know that, you know, if you're concealed carrying, you're clearing a cover garment, whatever that cover garment is. So the first thing you're going to do with your offhand is clear that cover garment, get it out of the way, and then get your firearm out. It's the same movement. Instead of pulling your shirt up to get your gun out, you're just grabbing the front of this and pulling it down to get your gun out.
Great. And so this gives people a lot of options too in the summer, right? When it's very difficult to conceal a firearm if you're dressed very lightly in the summer, you know, like tight shirt and shorts or whatever.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, fanny packs are back. My daughter, she's 14. She tells me that the 80s are back. And I don't know what that means exactly. Even though I was alive in the 80s, I'm not really sure what that means. But apparently fanny packs are back. So, you know, we have them at a bunch of different colors. They kind of blend in. Especially if you just get one of the plain colored ones, you know, nobody knows that you're carrying a gun up here in Montana. That's not super important. But I know in a lot of cities and a lot of places in America, you don't want people to know that you're carrying. This is a great option for folks.
That's fantastic. Okay, great. And by the way, according to my music collection, the 80s never left.
Okay.
So we're still in the 80s.
I want to let her know that.
Yeah. That's what I tell myself. We're still in the 80s.
Oh,
nothing
I wish.
Beats the 80s.
You know, the 80s were a much calmer time, I think.
Yeah. In fact, let's talk about that for a second. But sure. I mean, you also have belts. I mean, really good heavy-duty leather gun belts. And just quickly talk about some of the other accessories that you offer.
Sure. You know, we do all kinds of stuff. We have a great concealed carry belt. It's made from a biothane material, which is kind of a coated nylon material that's virtually indestructible. The buckle itself is a machined aluminum. We make those right here in Montana. That allows us to sell a belt that's, we say it's the last belt you'll ever buy because it's a lifetime warranty belt. Try that with a leather belt or even a tactical nylon belt. Eventually those will wear out. And so, yeah, I don't know. We're big fans of them. It's not a product that we're very well known for, but just to give you an example, you know, we are hunters up here and, we shoot elk every year. We have hung entire elk with our belts. Now they're not climbing rated. We don't go out there and pay for the testing, get them climbing rated, but if they'll hold up an elk hanging from the barn, we know they'll hold your pants up.
Yeah. No question about that. Okay. And then again, to our viewers, you can use discount code Ranger to save 10% off of everything at that you offer at shieldarms.com. And by the way, I don't earn anything off of anybody's use of that discount code. It's just something that we pass along to our viewers. And we thank you, Brandon, for making that available to give people a little bit of a discount. Now, with that said, let's talk about the state of the world right now. We know, I mean, our audience especially is very well informed about the fact that police have been defunded. There are more looters than ever before in American cities. We're watching, you know, FedEx trucks and UPS trucks and Amazon vans get looted on a regular basis. And shoplifting is through the roof. There are violent assaults happening, you know, especially across blue cities, let's be honest. And then in addition, the world is becoming more and more dangerous as well with what's happening in the Middle East, especially in tempers have flared. And there's a lot of concern about domestic terrorism in the United States. So what are your thoughts as a provider of these problem-solving pieces of equipment about the safety of your customers and the American people?
That's the sort of idea behind what we do at Shield Arms, right? So we make life-protecting gear, not just firearms. We sell medical kits. And then we also really encourage people to go out and seek out training. Know how to use your firearm properly. And then if you know how to make holes, then you should also know how to plug those holes. So seek out competent instruction. And we encourage people to carry tourniquets. We sell EDC kits that start out with a bag, a firearm, and a medical kit. And then there's plenty of space for you to accessorize it and sort of make it your own. We do live in a crazy time. And what we tell people is that, you know, while we still have some semblance of rule of law, which we do have in most of America, not all of it, concealed carry is wonderful. You know, make sure you do it lawfully, but concealed carry is wonderful. When things break down, I should say if, but it's looking more like a when at this point, you are going to want a little bit more firepower than just a concealed carry pistol. So that's why we encourage people, even if it's not from us, you know, make sure you get some sort of a long gun and then the training on how to use it.
Yeah, really good point. And sometimes I've even told people start with the long gun because it's much easier to use than a pistol. I mean,
no doubt.
Pistols throw people for a loop. I mean, people freak out trying to, which eye, you know, why am I seeing 12 versions of my iron sights in my sight picture, you know, but rifles are just like easy.
They are. Yeah. Way easier than pistols. It's smart to tell people to start with that. I'll have to remember that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think once they understand the principles of the rifle, then transitioning to a pistol, they already have some kind of a base. And also remember that the first time shooter is very scared of the recoil of the pistol. But since the recoil of a rifle, like an AR-15, is so much less, I mean, to you and I, Brandon, it's like, this is nothing. I mean, we barely notice it these days, right? But to a first-time shooter, you know, a rifle is much easier to handle that recoil than a pistol. The pistol freaks everybody out, and that's why they always do the dipping down thing, right?
Sure.
They're always like dipping down in anticipation.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But training is key, you know, whether you're going to start with a pistol or start with a rifle or, you know, hopefully eventually learn both, training is key. So we're big proponents of that.
Absolutely. Now, I'm really glad you sell an EDC kit and medical packs as well. In my vehicle, my primary vehicle, I always travel with multiple tourniquets and you know, first aid kits that are pretty well stocked, by the way, and blood stop gauze and blood stop powders and things like that. Your kit, is there anything that you want to say about your medical kits?
It's your standard, traumatic bleeding. So tourniquet, quick clot, you've got combat gauze, essentially things to stop a bad bleed. It's not a kit you're going to want to rip open if you cut your finger. Maybe throw some duct tape on that. And then what we'll tell people is, you know, supplement. So start with, even if it's not our kit, that's fine. Just get some sort of a traumatic bleeding kit. And then the training to use it. You know, where do you put a tourniquet? Where do you where on the body does it make sense to use quick clot? Where do you start packing wounds and where do you not pack wounds? All that stuff. So training, please seek that out. But then start with some sort of a traumatic bleeding kit. Another great company out there that makes great kits is Refuge Medical. So, you know, please don't think this is just about our stuff. Buy somebody's kit. learn how to use it, and then supplement it to make it your own, right? And that's when you're going to want to add things like your boo-boo kit for, you know, someone got a cut, but it's not to the level of needing quick clot, for example. So,
right, right. Yeah, I completely agree. I took it was a live fire stop the bleeding training course a couple years ago that was very instructive. And, you know, you and I, we forget that a lot of people don't know the basics. Like if you cut your arm and you're bleeding a lot, some people don't know to, you have to put the tourniquet above the laceration. Some people put the tourniquet below. It's like, what? How's that going to help you?
Don't do that. That's not what you want.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then, we all had to become proficient, of course, in one-handed operation of the tourniquet, you know, strap it on, twist it, tuck it in, and of course, write the time on the tourniquet. If you don't write the time, then the emergency room doctors don't know how long you have before you lose the limb, right?
Yep. Also so, very important.
Very, very important stuff to know. Okay. So, all right. In addition to, as you say, making holes and then patching up holes, and we've talked about belts and the fanny pack, which I can't wait to sport that out jogging one day. Anything else we should know about?
You know, we do a bunch of other stuff. We've got a knife company. We've got a coffee company. We try to stay pretty busy. We basically do the things. We do the things that we like, and then we hope other folks come along for the journey. But I think that the things we're most known for, you've sort of touched on, and you know, your audience it knows a lot about knives already through you and through some of your designs. So
true.
Yeah. Those have been pretty cool to see.
Oh, good. Thanks for that feedback. Yeah. We produced a batch of those Escape from LA knives and we couldn't keep them in stock, man.
Oh, they I bet not. I bet not. It's pretty unique. It's pretty cool design. I was pretty impressed.
It's well, this show's not about my knives, but, I am going to release some video about using them on the ranch in some very unique ways. Definitely.
Good. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, bottom line is, Brandon, I mean, I love the Glock 43X that you provided me, and thank you for that. And that's become my carry firearm. I love the folding stock ARs that you have. And, I'm looking forward to trying out the 9mm as well. The 9mm carbine. And your magazines are just top notch. Again, your magazines brought me back to Glock.
Thank you.
So that's how good they are.
Thank you. There's a whole bunch more coming in that arena. We've got, for some folks, these, even though they're not that big a gun, this Glock 43X is just too big for some folks to reliably conceal. And so we've got an even smaller version of this gun coming soon. So stay tuned. We'll make sure to get one of those out to you when those are ready.
Okay. An even smaller version of a Glock 43X?
Yeah. This is kind of a smaller sneak preview.
Oh, so it's a shorter grip and is the barrel a half inch shorter too?
Same barrel.
Is it the same?
Yeah. The whole top end's the same.
Okay.
The magazine is smaller.
Wow.
The 10 round version of the same mag.
So that reminds me, that's kind of like a thinner Glock 26 almost.
You got it. That's exactly right.
Wow. Okay. Well, very cool. Very useful. Okay. Yeah. That'd be great as a backup firearm for your main carry as well.
Yep.
All right, Brandon, anything else you want to add or have we covered everything?
I think that's it. We just, you know, really appreciate you and your audience and thanks for having me on. And I appreciate your sort of common sense approach to preparedness. So thank you for that.
Well, absolutely. Thank you for providing the discount code for our audience. Again, the code is RANGER, 10% off everything, including the firearms, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Wow. That's a huge deal. And then remember, folks, we always encourage you need to follow your local laws. When you purchase firearms from Shield Arms, of course, it has to go through your FFL. Yep. And if you don't have an FFL, you got to find one, and then you got to go through that and do the transfer there, and hopefully you have a concealed carry, so you don't have to wait on the NICS background check system. But you know, obey local laws. But most importantly, as Brandon said, do your training. And remember, you don't have to burn through ammo to do a lot of training. You can do dry fire training, practicing, you know, presenting the firearm, practicing the motion of it, practicing clearing jams, reloads, all these things. You can do it in a dry fire configuration. Just make sure that you clear your firearm first and you're not running live rounds accidentally in your apartment complex or something. So dry fire is, I mean, all the best shooters I know practice dry fire.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yep. All right, Brandon. Well, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate you. And absolutely. And folks, the website again is shieldarms.com, spelled just like it sounds, shieldarms.com, and use discount code Ranger, save 10%. Thank you for watching today. Take care. Today's interview is brought to you by healthrangerstore.com. And if you'd like to support us, check out what we have available. Even after our big Black Friday event, which just concluded, and we had an outpouring of support from our customers. Thank you so much for supporting us. We have such good inventory right now, which is very unusual compared to the last few years, that we still have available food products. So if you want certified organic, lab-tested, storable food, here's your solution right here. There, I'm trying to reach over the Ranger buckets right here that we have in stock. And you can see some of the packs there of how they're sealed and vacuum packed for long-term storage. And then we've got mega buckets. There's wheat berries. And then we've got some blueberries on top there. That's freeze-dried, again, certified organic, laboratory-tested blueberries. We have kale. We have some other different berries and different kinds of vegetables as well. All of this available now at healthrangerstore.com. The only thing is, it might take a couple more days than usual to ship out because of the huge outpouring during our Black Friday event, which, again, just concluded. But on the healthrangerstore.com website, you'll see what we have. We have cocoa energized, astaxanthin soft gels, moringa leaf powder, of course, lab tested because there's a lot of lead in moringa. So we do our ICP-MS testing to make sure that yours is clean. Organic coconut milk powder, and so much more. If you go through the website, you can see all of our superfoods, our freeze-dried products, our best-selling products, a nascent iodine, which is a big seller right now, and so much more. Just check it all out at healthrangerstore.com. And with your support, we will continue to bring you compelling, informative, eye-opening interviews that help you understand and navigate the world around you. So thank you for all your support. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and of healthrangerstore.com. Take care.